Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, I have been thinking about our country lately. Help me to speak what you want to be said, and help the listeners to hear what you want to be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Lately, I have had thoughts about the world and our country and our community, and I have thought, how did we get here? And what are we doing today? What are we like today? And where are we going? I look at what is going on with the continuing battle between God and Lucifer, who wanted his own will and not God's will. So he was cast down from heaven to earth, and he became known as Satan. And then, with Adam and Eve, again the battle went on for who mankind would follow, God's will or man's own free will. And meanwhile, Satan is angry at God, and he wants to hurt God. But Satan cannot actually hurt God. Satan, however, can hurt what God loves, which is mankind. And so, Satan tries to cause men to turn away from God, and thus to spend eternity separated from God in hell. Well, there's examples of how bad it is in hell. There's the rich man and Lazarus, written about in Luke 16:19-30. And there, the rich man wants water, but there is no water. It's an example of how bad hell is. So there is a battle going on over the eternal destiny of our soul. And the question is, will we choose to follow Jesus, or will we choose to allow ourselves to be distracted and to follow anything other than God? Well, I know when we don't have what we want, we get distracted. And we can want those very basic necessities of water and food and warmth, or it might be some other physical item that we really want. And we're distracted by, even emotional issues. Like love. And so we get distracted by those distractions. And there's a few people who have power that they crave. They want the power over other people. They want people to do exactly what they want them to do. And if they don't, they are going to suffer, or they'll cause their loved ones to suffer. I mean, that really does happen in this world. It really does. So, in this world, we are told to fear not because, like in John 16:33, it says, Jesus has overcome the world. And so we can have peace in the midst of the troubles that we have. And if you have that relation with Jesus, we get to know that by experiencing life and seeing what happens. So we see in life that things do happen. People suffer. And they choose to suffer as a martyr for Jesus Christ because they know that's the truth. Ever since Roman times, people have chosen the truth of Jesus Christ and martyred him instead of denying the truth of Jesus Christ. So that's been a part of the spiritual battle also. It goes on between good and evil, God and Satan. The real question for each one of us, though, is who do we turn to? What do we turn to? Do we turn to Jesus or away from Jesus? It's a very personal decision, and we all have it to make. And as part of that decision, gets to be, where will we spend eternity? In heaven or in hell? And that's been the question for thousands of years. Who are we going to follow? And are we going to be distracted by, well, all sorts of things? It can be the real physical things like hunger or war or slavery. And if you look back, there's always been these things going on. Before Rome, there was Egypt, and there was the Exodus out of Egypt. Oh, you know, when God, through Moses, told Pharaoh to let my people go to worship God. And Pharaoh said no. So God brought plague after plague upon Egypt until Pharaoh was willing to let God's people go to freely worship him. See, God knows the correct order of things, and he knows that it is right and proper that he, God alone, is worshiped. And then Satan comes along, and he wants what God has, and he wants to be worshiped just like God is worshiped. So we get to choose, who are we going to follow? Who are we going to worship? God or anything else? And the world is just full of all sorts of little sparkly things that just get our attention, turn our eyes and our mind away from God. The world is full of all sorts of difficulties, and they also can take our attention away from God. And those distractions can be the ordinary things, like car problems, or a crime near us, or a relationship issue, or they could be bigger things, like a war or a famine. And it can be the regular things of life, like are we going to oppose or support something that's political? Are we going to support capitalism or socialism? Well, see, all these things are questions. Are they distractions? Are they issues of life? Yes, all of that. And do you remember Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels? They wrote the Communist Manifesto in 1848. In their writings, they used terms, well, they used communism and socialism interchangeably. And so we today are looking at socialism or capitalism, which is better. And, oh, yes, I have wondered about those people, Marx and Engels, and I've wondered if in their hearts they were truly concerned for the plight of the downtrodden. Hey, that's nice if they were, but I look at that system of communism and the Communist Manifesto. Lately, or ever since that time, it has been used as an instrument to gain power and to kill or murder all of the opposition to that system. There was revolution and deprivation and death that was used as instruments to control people or even to kill them. See, that's a part of this that we just don't have a full education about. It's not presented to us. There are plenty of people who elevate, they talk about how good Marxism and communism are. But really, it is a struggle for absolute power. It's a difficult thing. In practice, what it does is it takes goods and resources and power away from the many, and it puts those things into the hands of the very few. And nowadays you will hear academics, you know, professors and students, and they say, oh, but that is not pure Marxism. Pure Marxism is a good thing. It just hasn't been applied so far. And to that I respond, if that system has been tried and failed so many times, that system is flawed and it must never be attempted again. That's what I think. Communism, Marxism, even now socialism, is holding on to revolutionary ideals. And revolutions hurt people. There has only been one revolution that benefited the people, and that is the American Revolution. And the American Revolution came from a God-honoring people. So that's quite a difference. That is the difference between the American Revolution and all the other revolutions that have not benefited the people. I mean, just look around. Look at the recent ones. The revolutions in China, in Russia, Cuba, Cambodia, Venezuela, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and other countries. See, all those revolutions did not help the people. In fact, it brought trouble and poverty to the people. And yes, there were politicians who promised all sorts of good things if they would just give that politician the power. And you know, the people did give the politician the power. And then the people suffered. That's been the way that it has gone in so many countries. And so I say, watch out, America, because we have a system where the politicians promise all sorts of things to the people, and it just doesn't turn out the way they say. Dictatorship in America? Ha, I doubt it. Well, sort of. Because, you know, we have to be aware that everything can happen again, even in America. And in America, we have this habit of just accepting things and doing nothing. Nothing. We don't interact with our representatives. We just allow things. And an example of that is the executive orders. Now, for decades, we have allowed our president to issue executive orders. And the Congress has allowed those executive orders to become law as long as Congress does not specifically object to them. And what do you say when our nation is called a nation of laws? And a part of that, when that is said, means we, the people, are supposed to obey the laws. We obey laws, not dictates. Dictates are for dictators. Yeah, and we don't live in a dictatorship, do we? No, but you can ask people about where the mask requirements came from. And they came from the dictates of the governors or the health officials of the certain states. They are not laws. They are not passed by a legislator. They are dictates. So, we have this little problem of accepting whatever comes along and saying, they told me it was good, so I'm going to do it. That's been something that has been going on for decades. It's not new. It's just a continuation of the process that we have allowed to occur. Whatever they are, mandates, executive orders. Hey, there's another one that the governor of California just made a few weeks ago, months ago. that by the year 2035, there would be no gasoline or diesel-powered cars or trucks allowed in California. That is, no new gas or diesel vehicles could be sold. That was what he called an executive order, and that is just over a dozen years away. Not that far. No more gas or diesel trucks to be sold that are new in California. So, you tell me. What do you think about that, California? Are we living in the freest state and nation on earth? Or are we living in a mild dictatorship? And, you know, the question is also, what are you going to do about it? For instance, have you spoken to anyone about the way things are going? Have you written any letters? Have you said anything in support or in opposition to these things, either with your words or in a letter? Same thing for the mask mandate. Whether you support it or oppose it, what have you done about it? Well, do you remember a year ago we were just going to have this shut down, these mask requirements, for a few weeks until we slowed the spread of this current virus? And a year later, here we are a year later, a lot of things are still affecting us, and businesses keep shutting their doors. Do you really think things are ever going to get back to normal? Do you know how many thousands of businesses have closed their doors for good? They're never going to open up again, and people are not going to work there again. And people anyway have gotten so much out of the habit of work, and students have gotten out of the habit of studying. What is going to happen? Do you think we're going to just open up and everything's going to go back to normal? I doubt it. I don't even think we're going to get back to semi-normal. So what is our future? Especially after this corona COVID problem. What is going to happen? You know, we get told a lot of things, and we get reassured, and we believe the people that are telling us things. Why? Because we like to believe that they have our best good in mind. But do they? I should certainly wonder about that. I'm just thinking back a year ago. I remember there were about 5 studies that were made during the previous 10 years at medical facilities and hospitals. It was a study about whether or not the N95 masks, when they were worn by medical personnel, was it good or not good? Though that's what the studies were about. And basically, there was so little difference. I mean, it was just like 1% difference if the medical personnel wore their masks or if they didn't. So that should translate to our situation in society. Do the masks actually help us? Well, finally, there has been a current study. The current study was done at Stanford, and it was released, like a month ago. And already the internet fact checkers have found plenty of flaws in it, and that's no surprise. That's what they do. That's their job. Find the flaws. And you'll understand that. I mean, remember school, how we used to have papers and tests or a term paper or a thesis, and when we got it back, well, of course there were red marks on it, because that's what the teacher did. The teacher checked things and found the faults. And that's what the fact checkers do. So yeah, they're going to find faults. Even with this peer-reviewed Stanford study dated April 17th, 2021. It was published at the NIH.gov, and it is proving that face masks are absolutely worthless at stopping COVID-19. All right, is that opinion or is that what it says? Well, read that study. It is available to you. It's posted on the website of the National Center for Biotechnological Information, and that is a branch of the National Institute of Health. So obviously, there has been a real effort to limit the information that we receive. Mainstream media does a good job of limiting information, including information about COVID-19. But you can find some news releases that covers this information. And you can also find people that have been, well, limited, monitored, restricted, having all sorts of accounts just limited because they put this information out. And as an example, there was a news reporter, Steve Cortez, who posted this information on his Twitter account. And his Twitter account was suspended for violating the Twitter policy on, quote, spreading misleading and potentially harmful information related to COVID-19, unquote. And that is even though this information was directly from a government website. So what are we dealing with here? Well, just listen to the studies. I mean, make up your own understanding and check out things. Anyway, this Stanford University researcher, Baruch Van Schelheim, he had this study, and he cited 67 scholars, doctors, and scientists to support his conclusions. So it's not just a rinky-dink study. It's a real study. And it concluded that the COVID-19 is 1,000 times smaller than the N95 mask would stop. And this same study has footnotes here and there that are detrimental to wearing a face masks because of carbon dioxide hypoxemia. Well, read the study. That's really what you want to do. But I'll kind of go over a little bit of it where they were trying to figure out the difference between people wearing a face mask and people wearing no face mask. And just real quickly, it showed that there was practically no difference. Call it no difference. That these N95 respirators were not effective against the transmission of viral infections or influenza-like illnesses. So there is also a reference to the World Health Organization saying that cloth masks are not recommended under any circumstances. There is information out there. There is information that shows that wearing a face mask causes social isolation and loneliness and health-related risks, including nervousness and stress. And it causes hormone levels to be altered. Cellular hypoxemia can result and that accelerates disease. And that suppresses the immune system. So, face masks can have some serious long-term health consequences. But who do you hear saying that? Who talks about it? Not too many people. There's also a part of this study that says that the face masks, when worn for more than 4 hours a day, can cause new headaches. Look, this study is a good study. There's 67 footnotes in it. It's a good study. And if you would like to look at it yourself, one of the places it is at is the AmericansConservativeMovement.com. So, there's a divide going on in our country. You know that. The divide is over all sorts of things. One of the things is, do we wear a mask, do we get the vaccination for COVID-19? Do we? I tell you, there is an argument about this. There is a discussion about whether it really does affect your mRNA or not. Well, there's plenty of people who say it does, and they are the ones who research the matters, as far as I can tell. So I say, look out, everybody. I think of Hosea 4:6. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, study the matter. Study it yourself. It is a big question. But I do have two resources for you to look up, if you're so interested. One is Gert Van Bosch. He is a vaccine developer and a vaccine promoter. And he says, don't take the vaccine. Look him up. His name is spelled GERTVANDENBOSSCHE. There's another person you might look up, Dolores Cahill, an immunologist. So, there are people with good qualifications who really are questioning what you should do. Take the vaccine or not? Wear a face mask or not? My people perish for lack of knowledge. So, check things out. Look for yourself. Look at the issues going on in America. These are not the only ones. We have we have election fraud that still is a question. We have a question of Supreme Court packing or unrestrained illegal immigration or police departments being defunded while violent protests are going on, while there is destruction and assault, even murder in our cities. And the elected officials, they seem to support the protests that are turning violent. What kind of a country are we living in? It sounds like a third world country to me. But in third world countries, the governments don't pay their citizens money. They don't pay the illegal immigrants money. And it makes you wonder, what is our country doing anyway? Well, you can see that the way things are going, change is going to come. In fact, change is going on right now. Some of the change is quick, and some of the change is slow. But look around. Change is happening. I do look at one of them that is concerning to me. It is defund the police. Now, there is a lot of energy in that direction. But what happens when the police are defunded? You know what? It's natural that the crime would increase. And that is the kind of things that happen. And then there is a reaction. You know, there has always been crime in history. That has been just so normal. And then there's a reaction to it. Well, I'm thinking of one event that happened in 1695 where there was a pirate ship and it went aboard another ship that happened to have a treasure of silver coins on it. And the pirates killed all of the 300 people on board, the crew and the passengers, all murdered. That pirate's name was Henry Avery. And after that happened, the British Navy made a mission to destroy as many pirate ships as it could find. And they did that for a few years. That's just a part of the world we live in. There is a reaction. I mean, there is an action and a reaction. That's the history of men. There's also a history of men killing men. And plagues killing men also. There's natural things that go on, and there's human things that go on. You know, plagues. There was one in 730 BC in Athens, Greece, and that killed 25% of the population of Athens, and then it disappeared. Now, in the Middle Ages, there were also great plagues, and those ones continued for a few hundred years. See, there's death and disease all throughout history. How do we deal with that? There's military events where wars have happened. We know the modern wars, but there was also going back to the 13th century, Genghis Khan. He came out of China, and he killed, if a city resisted his conquest, he put the entire city to death. Every single person that was in it, he killed, and tens of thousands were killed like that. Oh, his army made it right up to the edge of Europe. It was big. Another big thing with wars was about 1500, the Muslims killed, they beheaded every single man in a city that they captured. That happened in several cities in Spain. And they did that in the Middle East. And many thousands were killed. That's just history. In history, there is murder, there is death, and there is murder in men's heart. That happens even today. I mean, just think about the political situation today. There are still people who say they want to kill Trump. And people still say that they want all the Trump supporters killed or to be sent to a re-education camp. That's one of the things that goes on. Is murder in the heart of men? It sure seems to be. And so I wonder, is that a part of what's going on with defund the police and let the felons go free so they don't catch COVID? It might be. It might be. See, I do think, speaking about the police, I think about the police departments and when the police are weakened, the crimes increase. And then what happens is that the citizens, they cry out loudly for a strong law enforcement to be formed. And that strong law enforcement often gets to be an elite police group. And that elite police group has happened throughout history. The Nazis had the brown shirts, and later they had the Gestapo, later the Stasi. And in Russia they had the KGB. In China, they had the Goambu. And this is just a historical fact of what happens. And it is also a historical fact that when there is a strong elite or secret police, It's so typical that there is a tyrannical government or a dictatorship that is funding it and making it happen. So look around. This is what's going on now. There is a movement to have these things happen. Now, I don't know that it will happen in the United States, and I don't have any special knowledge that it will or that it won't. I just look at historical things, and I recognize the patterns, and I talk about them. And that's why I talk about the situation and the circumstances that are going on in America right now. I see the historical patterns. I see there are patterns that we can learn from biblical prophecy. I look around, and so I say, look out, something just might happen. And I always pay attention to the prophecy, even if I really, really question it. I really do, because I think that prophecy has been used and abused. But I still remember that there are prophetic people who talk about things, and I kind of remember them. It's not that I believe it, but I say this just might happen. And one of the things in by prophetic people for almost 30 years now has been a discussion that America would be occupied by both Russian and Chinese troops. I don't know what to say about it. It just makes me pause. Is it true? Could it be? I just wonder. And now there's another prophetic person, David Coverstone, last year. He talked about brace yourself for what is coming. Over and over again, he said, brace yourself. Now, he's not the only one who said that. There are a half a dozen, maybe a dozen people who said they have had a prophetic word from God. That was last year also. Or they had a dream or a vision where they were told, look out, brace yourself. And of course, I don't know what's true, but I'm not going to say that people who say they have a word from God don't know, especially when there's many people, close to a dozen people have had those kind of words. And then nowadays, as I talk to people, I find it out that there are plenty of people in our city, in our community, in California, and in the United States who are saying, look out, look out. These are not prophetic people. These are just regular people who I have a conversation with, people who I hear. And they say, look out, things are coming. Things are going to get bad. They are. You can see the way things are headed. That's what they would say. And like last week, just a week ago, I heard 4 gunshots close together at 2:20 a.m. Yeah, gunshots get your attention. It doesn't mean it means anything significant, but it's just another example of things are going on in the world around us. So, yeah, look out. Sure, it's always wise to be aware and to look out. I know another funny thing. At the end of last year, there were about 3 times I heard something like wild dogs. Oh, they might have been coyotes, but there were howling for about 15 or 30 minutes in the distance, like they were chasing something. You know, I haven't heard that before. They were a long ways away, but still, I had not heard them before where I live. So, things are getting my attention, and maybe they're getting your attention also. What are the real answers? I don't know, but I can always say, preparation is good. And when I say preparation, I really always mean spiritual preparation. Because we never know when the last day of our life is, when we're going to meet our Maker. We never know that. So, spiritual preparation. And then I think also about physical preparation. Because there again, we don't know what'll happen. It's good to get a few supplies. Of course, I think of the basics, water, food, and warmth. And beyond that, everybody has their own ideas about what they want or what they're going to do for preparedness. Think about it. Make your own plans. But have a plan. Think about what you would like. If you could dream of anything, what would you do? What would you have? And then think about what you can do. It'll be small steps at first, a few little things, and that's okay. Something is better than nothing. Do something. There's lots of people who have had disruptions in life, and they have found their supplies would either help them or help people that they knew who needed help. Preparedness is a good thing. As we see our nation falling apart, well, do you see it falling apart? I see signs of it. Maybe you do too. But whatever is coming, something is happening, change is coming, and we have to have an idea that things could happen any time. Or they could be delayed for a long time. Do we have a year? Do we have a day? Speaking of a day and a year, there's a little saying that it is better to prepare a year too early than a day too late. Yeah. So nobody knows exactly what to prepare for, and nobody knows when. It's just that we take some steps for if there is a natural disaster or some other kind of event. We see things changing. We see a new group of people being educated in our schools, and we can only guess what that is going to bring. You know, the schools are teaching that your feelings are important and sexuality is important, and of course they are, but should they define the rest of your life? Well, it depends on who you talk to, doesn't it? You know, speaking of changes, you know the Department of Motor Vehicles is allowing people to have male, female, and non-binary, and a few other things as their choice for what sex are they. So, it's an example. Things are changing. What if we did have a hard time coming? What do you think people would do? Are these going to be the people who are going to be able to resist tyranny? Are you going to be able to resist tyranny? There are questions upon questions, and I don't have the answers, but I know it's better to do something than nothing, and that's why I will urge you and urge everyone to do a little bit of something for preparedness. We spend money on this and on that. It just takes a little bit here and there in your plan to put a few things aside for the just in case. You know that people have always been, reluctant to spend money. And that's been a way that it has always been. And even Congress, you think Congress can spend millions and billions and trillions of dollars? Yes, that's true. But they are still reluctant to spend some money, like to make our electrical grid EMP-proof. They won't spend money on that, but they'll spend money for, all sorts of other foolish things. In a way, government has never changed. If you look back, you will see that Congress has refused to spend money on all sorts of things. See, Congress did not even want to spend money on George Washington's army. They wouldn't spend the money for his supplies. And in the Civil War, Congress did not want to fund General Sherman's promise to give 40 acres and a mule to every freed slave who fought for the Union. So, things are just like that. And I'm thinking back to, well, after World War I, Congress would not fund the bonuses that the United States soldiers were promised. They were promised bonuses, but Congress kept delaying that payment, the appropriation of it. And then the Depression came along, and people got desperate. And those soldiers that had been soldiers remembered the promise that they had, that they were going to get a bonus for serving in World War I. Well, they didn't get it. And so, finally, in the midst of desperate times, in 1932, 17,000 soldiers, I mean veterans of World War I and their families marched on Washington, D.C. And they said they want their money and they want it now. Well, there were confrontations and the government forces, well, the government was there to keep order. And so they told the government forces to fire upon the veterans. And most of the government forces would not do that. But a few government forces did fire upon the veterans, and a few World War I veterans were wounded. That was in 1932. See, things happen, things that we can't imagine our free country doing and our Congress doing, they have done. So we need to be watchful. And like Thomas Jefferson said, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And that reminds me of a story about a decorated U.S. Marine Major General Smedley Butler. He is known for a book that he wrote in 1935 called War is a Racket. And only a few people now remember that Major General Smedley Butler was also known for uncovering a plot to overthrow the United States government. You don't hear that in our school books, do you? But it's something that's true. He said he was approached by some very influential people in industry and in finance, and he was approached to become the new leader of the United States government as a strong leader, you know, like a dictator. They wanted him to become that leader, and he was a very popular man in the United States at that time, because he was a decorated war hero, and he went to several of their meetings pretending to go along with their plot. And then he reported the plan to Congress. And Congress set a committee, and that committee found out that much of what General Smedley Butler said was true. But they could not confirm all of it. No surprise there, because if that congressional committee could confirm all of it, they would have traitors in high-up American industry. And you know what? With the people being what they were at the time, we had a very patriotic citizenry, and perhaps those traitors would have been hung. Well, present-day historians have found more proof that that plot was true, but we still don't hear about it. We have to always be watchful. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Because in history, people have always wanted control, power, and wealth. That's just the way history has always been, and we need to be aware of it. Remember that there are plots even today that are going on, and that is going on. There are people today who are saying, we want this, we want that, and by the way, it takes away from the power of the people, and they are forming things in government that are not good for the liberty of the people. There are things like, there's questions, always questions. If you look back 30 years, you will find information about FEMA camps all across the United States with barracks and armed guard towers and tall fences around the facilities. Are they true? Are they not true? We just wonder. We don't know. But that question was brought up again in 2018, when there was an ad posted on GoArmy.com, and they were looking for people to work in internment resettlement areas. We still don't know. We don't know what those many camps are for. All across the United States, there are camps that could be internment facilities. We just don't know. But we can look. Our citizenship is important, and one of the things that we can do as citizens is question the government. Citizenship has always been important. It was important to Paul, if you remember in Acts 16:37. He had citizenship in Rome, and he used that to his advantage. We can use our citizenship in the United States and question what our representatives are doing. That just makes sense to me. And we always have to be concerned about the regular things in life, like our physical safety. That's always something to be concerned about. And by the way, that is why I like preparedness thoughts, for us to be prepared for who knows what. We have programs going on. We have questions. What is NSA doing, National Security Agency? Why are they constantly watching us, recording our every phone conversation? Why? Why? Well, we don't know what the future holds, but we can say there are questions. Let's just remember that our loyalty must always be to Jesus Christ. That is our first and foremost purpose in life. But we still like to be free. If we're free, we can spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are called upon to do that. So, if we have to preserve our freedom to do that, let's remember, do something to preserve our freedom. We have trends going on in this country to dumb down all sorts of things. If you look at the schools, what are they teaching? What are they teaching? That you can change your sex. I don't even want to talk about it. But there are things going on that are changing the quality of schooling in our United States. And there are plenty of people who say the answer to that is to have your children homeschooled. Okay. Is it better to spend a few years homeschooling your children, or is it better to see them go in some way that you don't want to see them go? Questions, questions. And we can encourage our children and anyone else that homeschooling just might be the answer. Just might. There are lots of battles going on every front, and we have to figure out, what are we going to stand for? What are we going to do? See, all these things in the past, and we can look at prophecy, we can look at George Washington's visions. So what happened with them? After hordes came in from overseas, the American people were fighting in mortal combat. And finally, we defeated those hordes of evil enemies, and they went back overseas. That's what the vision of George Washington was. Could it happen again today? Yes, it could. And I have to ask, are you going to surrender, or are you going to be prepared to fight in that spiritual battle? Because that's what it is first. It is first a spiritual battle. And we have to remember that that is our battle. We want to be free and have liberty and not be a slave. I think about decisions, and I think about preparing, yes. And Benjamin Franklin, who said, those who fail to prepare are preparing to fail. And what are you doing to preserve your liberty, your freedom to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, whatever it is, you keep on praying, you keep on doing, and you keep on supporting the people who are, well, they might be missionaries, or they might be speaking about the freedom that we have that is God's liberty to us. So pray and preach and have the good news of the Bible, that Jesus is the good news. Be strong in the Lord and in His might. Okay. So you can listen to any past broadcast of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org, and that is all lowercase and no spaces. If you would like I have the free preparedness pamphlet, and if you send me a stamped self-addressed envelope, I'll send that back to you. Send it to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And thank you for those of you who have sent me donations. I certainly appreciate them. Broadcasting takes both my time and my money, and I appreciate your prayers and your financial support. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.